Public universities and colleges have also suffered some hits in the last couple of years, but the financial burden often falls to students. Join the conversation if you're a parent, professor, or student who's been affected by shrinking spending. Call us at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now to talk about how higher education spending is different than local schools is Travis Rendell. He's the director of state policy analysis with the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, John.
Explain how higher education is funded differently than grade schools and high schools, particularly at the state level.
Well, the first and most important difference is that while K-12 has a significant local funding component via the property tax, like Mike just said, colleges and universities have two fundamental funding sources. One of them is the state, which is through the appropriations, and the other is through tuition, which is effectively the user fee that the student pays. And then there is a balance that private fundraising and other activities kicks in. But if you're looking at the two big pots of money, it's for many public colleges and universities, it's the state and the student.
Mm-hmm. And how has that balance shifted over the years, or has it remained the same?
It has definitely shifted. There was a point about 10 years ago when state funding made up a considerable portion of an institution's revenues, close to 40% or more in many cases. And in about a decade, that's dropped about 10 percentage points. And part of that's been picked up by the students through their tuition. And part of that's been picked up by more private fundraising, more federal grants and contracts for research and activities like that.
Across the board, how have tuitions risen, particularly at state-funded institutions?
Well, what's very interesting as I've looked at this over the years is that there's almost an inverse relationship between the state of the economy and what percentage tuition is rising. When you're dealing with a good economy and the states are kicking in a good amount of funding for universities, our average tuition increase for a public university will sit somewhere in the maybe 3-5% range. When the economy really starts to take a nosedive and the states start to cut back their funding is when we start to break that double digit barrier. I would expect that this coming school year, 2003-2004, we will see average tuition for public universities in this country topping 10% pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. And what about at private schools? What are we seeing there these days?
You're seeing a slightly lower percentage increase, but you always have to remember that you're calculating it on a different base. So a 5% increase when an average private university tuition is $15,000 still is a pretty decent chunk of change. And private universities are facing, they're not recession-proof either. They're facing some of the same financial pressures that public universities are. The stock market has not been particularly healthy, which doesn't help endowments, and it also doesn't help giving, which they rely heavily on. So everybody's hurting a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about how shrinking state coffers are changing higher education spending. One way parents have tried to plan for college is spending through prepaid tuition. We'll get an update on that. I'm John Itzte. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm John Itzte in Washington. Today we're talking about tough choices that states and individuals are having to make when it comes to spending for higher education. How have you been affected by budget cuts? Call us at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Travis Rendell, Director of State Policy Analysis at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. Welcome again. What states are hit hardest by this? Where are we seeing the biggest tuition increases or cuts in higher education?
Well, I think you have to really look at some of the states that were the first into this recession as you look through the industrial Midwest to Wisconsin and to Michigan and into Illinois and those states. states and some of the states in the Southeast that have really been financially suffering. Of course, in the previous segment, you singled out Oregon. I think they're definitely in a very serious situation right now, as is California. A $35 billion deficit, state deficit, really doesn't augur well for colleges and universities.
Mm-hmm. And how are the, are these cuts affecting the quality of education, you think? Is it being hurt?
Well, I think that's a really tricky balance that college and university presidents are walking every single day, and it's more painfully evident to them right now, is how do we balance between keeping the doors open to all students who come? Because public universities do have a history of providing access, but at the same time, making sure that it's access to a meaningful education. And so I think when you look at a lot of the campus-level cuts that presidents are making, they're trying to make the ones that are most invisible to students, but we're reaching a point now where that's getting really hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's include our callers in the discussion. This is Meg in Boston. Meg, do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I was actually calling. I'm a student at Mass College of Arts.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently the only state-funded institution for the arts in the United States.
Oh, really?
And we are looking at being privatized by our governor. He wants to cut our budget by 30% this year and follow it up over the next 4 years until we are no longer receiving any state funding.
Mm-hmm. And you probably don't feel very good about that. You're going to have to dig into your pocket.
At all. I mean, well, yeah, it should. They're saying that it, you know, it nearly triple tuition at Mass Art, and currently it's an 80% in-state student population. So the amount of people that would be able to do that, that are receiving that education now, they would go up to the same, it would be the same cost as any other art school, private art school, which is far more expensive than a lot of the students at Mass Art.
Travis Rendell, is this a unique situation, or are other colleges, state colleges, going private, being privatized?
I think Meg puts her finger on the far end, on one of the more radical solutions to this, which is full-fledged privatization. I think you're seeing a lot of activity in between of deregulating certain things and letting colleges and universities do certain things in the private sector that they hadn't before. I think the big question is what's the consequence of privatizing public education? What do we lose in that process? And there's not an easy answer to that question, but we need to start thinking more critically about it.
Mm-hmm. Meg, are you going to be able to afford to continue to go to school?
Well, fortunately for me, I'm graduating.
Ah.
So I get out at the same level I'm at now, but I am involved with some other members of, you know, other students there, and we're trying to take some action to try and at least draw attention to ourselves.
Is there a sense that they're going to lose a lot of students if they do this?
I imagine we'd lose a lot of in-state students, which is really what Mass Art provides for at this point. So I think that, you know, if it cost as much as any other, as any private art school, a lot of students who probably wouldn't otherwise get to art, get to go to an art school, an art college, would not, and would end up instead in the regular Massachusetts, you know, state college system, without having that focus on the arts. And I imagine a lot more out-of-state students would end up being the ones who are going to Mass Art.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Meg.
Thank you.
Let's go to an email now. This is from Preston, and he writes, I'm going back to school for a second undergraduate degree, and found out after I had enrolled that the University of Colorado was eliminating gift aid, that is, grants and scholarships, for second-time bachelor's degree candidates. Now my degree may cost as much as $20,000 more than I had planned. It's unfortunate that the university, because of the state's cuts, now considers my degree to be elective or optional. It's pretty important to me, he says. Now, he's getting a second degree and is not eligible. Is there a cutback more broadly on grants and scholarships?
Well, I think that what you're finding in a lot of states is it's very difficult to keep up the funding for grants, and it's often a place where some cutting or some holding level has taken place. I think in that particular case, that's another example where particularly governors and legislators and higher ed policymakers are looking very closely at whether a student has gotten their first crack at a baccalaureate or whether it's someone that is maybe around for the second time or is getting a double degree. And there's a lot more scrutiny being focused on that, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Matt in Logan, Utah. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
You've got a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I just graduated from Utah State University. financed largely through Pell Grants and government subsidies. However, had those options not been available to me, I certainly would have elected to continue my higher education.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, the demand for higher education inelastic enough that we can shift the financial burden to more of the students without experiencing, you know, a decline in people that take advantage of higher education?
What do you think, Travis Rendell?
I think there are some that would argue that there is sufficient inelasticity, but I think the question becomes then is who holds up the safety net for those that are least able, because even the federal programs, as good as they are, have really struggled to keep pace. And my worry is that we would miss out on a key source of human capital if we tested that theory to its fullest extent. You have to understand that over the next 15 years, the bulk of our population coming into higher education are going to be people from historically underrepresented and underserved populations, including low income. And I think that could be a real issue of denying ourselves the human capital we need if we really tested that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Matt.
May I follow up?
Sure. You got another question? Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I've noticed with all the news coverage of the war is that the vast majority of the world's population doesn't even have the opportunity to pursue higher education. And my point being that, you know, these people would likely subject themselves to 5 or 10 years of, you know, basically indentured service were they only to have the opportunity. And is it unreasonable to ask somebody to spend maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years paying off substantial student loans because they have the opportunity to live in the United States and take advantage of the education systems that we developed here?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Let's get in one more caller. Annie in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hello, Annie.
Yes.
Go ahead. You have a question or a comment?
Just a comment. I moved to Virginia 3 years ago to take a dream job and haven't had a raise since because of what I view as mismanagement at the state level. You know, funding for William & Mary, which is one of the premier public universities in the country, has been slashed. I think we've cut our budget by $28 million over the last 18 to 20 months. Faculty, staff, all state workers in the state of Virginia haven't had raises for over 3 years, but we've seen our health insurance copays go up. We've seen our premiums go up. We've seen state fees go up across the board, and there's an absolute refusal to raise taxes in this state, even like cigarette taxes. And we have the lowest cigarette tax in the country. No surprise there, I guess. But anyway, it feels kind of like a hopeless situation here. So I know each state is unique and has its own problems and got into this mess for various reasons. And here there were a couple of governors that just cut taxes to the bone and mm-hmm. and then spent a lot of money on silly kinds of projects.
Thanks, Annie. What do you think, Travis Rendell? Are states going to be willing to raise taxes in order to boost aid to a higher education?
I think Mike hit it on the money earlier. It's going to be a really tough sell, and higher ed is just part of this boom-bust cycle. When times are really good, they're really good, and when they're bad, they're really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us. Travis Rendell is Director of State Policy Analysts at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.